Dream Center Church is a restoring place, a place where we make disciples of Christ, teach and train them to live as children of God, and to thrive into who He created them to be. We believe that this is the best time on earth to be alive, to experience the end-time harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Get ready to be renewed, recharged, and restored, to go out and take the gospel to your world.
God wants you to prosper.
Yes, He does.
Prosperity is part of the kingdom.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's the will of God for us.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven. Whatever is happening in heaven is what God wants His family to experience here on this earth. Amen. We serve a God that's not just natural. He's supernatural.
Come on.
Don't expect to serve Him and to see nothing happen in your life. That would be doubting that He has an opportunity or the power or the will to change things in your life. In fact, He gives us this instruction of His book, which we call the Bible, which is a treasure chest of promises.
Hallelujah.
This book, the Word of God. And if you don't have one, we've got some back there. I want you, don't leave here without one. If you don't have a Bible, get one.
Amen.
Drop everything else. Keep this.
Amen.
One time somebody said, well, I can't. I got my bag I got to carry around. Throw that bag away, man. That thing ain't doing you nothing. Except holding on to some what little bit you got. There's nothing wrong with that. But that bag holds a little bit. This holds everything. And here, it's unlimited blessings from God. Now, He's not our sugar daddy. He's not our pimp. He's our Father. And He takes care of us. You know how He does it? Through faith.
Amen.
He gives us promises. He sends His word and heals us. He delivers us, sets us free by declaring words into our heart, declaring this word to us. And don't sit there and don't expect nothing to happen. In other words, you ought to expect something to happen.
Amen.
Because He's a supernatural God.
Hallelujah.
And when we say, Lord, we want Your presence in here, we just don't want to feel good. We want Him to manifest Himself in our midst. When God came and lived in Jesus, everything changed. Everything about His life changed. And Jesus is the model for you and I, how to live and walk with God and full of God. What's His main thing? He wants to live on the inside of us.
Amen.
That's just not a cliche. That's not a Christian saying. That is what Jesus would call eternal truth. Because Jesus says, I'm going to pray and Father's going to give you the Holy Spirit to abide with you forever. To abide with you forever.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He wants to live inside of us. He won't come in unless you let Him in.
Amen.
He won't take over. The devil will take over. The devil's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will come, and when you're not looking, and steal from you. God will just knock on your door. Say, I'm here. I'm here for you. Whenever you ask me, I'll come in. But you got to ask Him in faith. That Christ may dwell, Ephesians prayer, Ephesians 3 prayer says that Christ would dwell in our heart by faith. And then with Him in our heart, we'd be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. To know the love of God that passes knowledge. That we might be filled with all the fullness of Him. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we dare ask, think, or pray. According to the power that worketh in us. Oh, gee. If God lives in us, He didn't come in there without His power, without His healing. Without. If you want to see what the manifestation of God living on man is like, that was the blueprint for you and me, look at Jesus.
Amen.
Look at Him. Because he lived on this earth about 30 years before He was ever filled with God's Spirit. But then everything changed. When He was a kid, He was still the Son of God, but He wasn't filled with God. And he didn't bump into kids on the playground. They got healed. Nothing happened until God came and lived in him. And then he told us, this is for you. And then when the day of Pentecost came, when this finally manifested that God came to live in humanity, it was on the day of Pentecost. And the Spirit of God came in such power and might that it sounded like a rushing mighty wind. It sounded like a freight train. It sounded like a jet flying overhead real low. So much that the people all ran out to see what was going on. And they knew where the sound came from. They went over to the place where all them Galileans were. And they heard them speak in tongues and different languages and known tongues and unknown tongues. Wow. You know, if they spoke in one language, that guy didn't, that's unknown to him. But none of these languages are unknown to God.
Amen.
They are unknown to the devil. You can pray to God and the devil doesn't know what you're talking about.
Wow. Wow.
But he does know that if you believe God, his train's going to the dump yard.
Come on.
The devil wants you to be in ignorance. He doesn't want you to know about the things of God. He wants you to keep you in bondage. He keeps people in bondage and poverty and sickness, depression, oppression. Anything that keeps you from walking the good life and living the good life that, according to Amplified in Ephesians 2, living the good life that God prearranged, planned, and made ready for us to live. The good life.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus even said about the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it ain't God.
Come on.
People will blame God for it, but they don't know God. God doesn't do that. The Old Testament was translated into Greek and then to English, but that was a causative sense and a permissive sense. And when the Old Testament said, and I will not put on the disease I put on the people, he didn't say I'm going to put them, because God don't have any sickness and disease he pulls from and throws on people. It's not in his heaven. It's not in his right hand. Jesus is at his right hand, and Jesus undid everything the devil did.
Come on.
He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more than enough.
Hallelujah.
And if you look at the blessings and the cursings of the law, he wants to bless you. Bless you coming in. Bless you going out. Blessed be the fruit of your body. That's your kids. Your kids will be blessed. And your animals be blessed. Your storehouses. Somebody, you don't even have a house. He's got storehouses for you. I mean, houses where you live, a storehouse where you put your extra stuff. Right? Like the bank. Like, it'll increase. Everything that you put your hands to will prosper if you would hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. What's the first way to do that? Put your nose in this book.
Come on.
Find out what he said.
Amen.
He's given us two things. The Word, which is his Son, and the Spirit. Above many things. Those two things, the Word and his Spirit. You need the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you'll be led by any spirit. And there's more than one spirit out there. There's a kingdom of heaven. There's a kingdom of darkness. You know, people say, well, in the last days, there's going to be false prophets. There's going to be false healers. Yep, that's what he said. But there's also going to be true prophets. There's also going to be people in the body of Christ that are healing the sick, that are operating in God's kingdom realm.
Yeah.
You got to know the difference between the two. If you don't know the Word of God, you'll be deceived. You need to study. But you also need to be led by his Holy Spirit. When Karen and I began to walk with the Lord, we started going to church. I mean, like, we started not going to the church we went to. We wanted to go someplace that was on fire. We wanted to go somewhere where we felt God was going to be there.
Amen.
Where they would go and they would even worship and sing it instead of just holding hymnals or not even looking at them, not even singing. I mean, where I grew up, people hardly sang. They didn't sing. And they didn't get much to preach about either. I mean, well, the preacher wasn't much to get you up on fire for, right?
Come on.
They love God, though. But you know what? And you don't know, have the knowledge of the truth. You're only going to go but so far. Faith begins where the will of God is known.
Amen.
If you don't know the will of God concerning what you fight, you don't have the faith to fight it.
Come on.
Because faith comes by hearing and not having heard, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
I will probably repeat stuff every week We still need it. I was listening to Brother Hagin on the way here today. I love to hear him get me fired up on the way here. He said he would been somewhere preaching. He'd been there probably four or five different times. He'd done did these 2-3 week meetings. And he came back one day and he was trying to figure that the pastor said, I want you to preach for me on Sunday morning. Normally the pastor preaches on his own church. But Brother Hagin had been there doing meetings. He said, I want you to preach on Sunday. He said, all right, I'll preach on Sunday. He started going back through his notes, looking for what he would preach as a pastor. He thought he had something ready to preach. And God says, when he got before he went into the pulpit, he says, I want you to preach on faith. He said, I've been preaching on faith the last five meetings I've been here. And he didn't listen. He started off to preach something else. He said, hold it. I got to stop. I just missed God. He said, aren't you embarrassed when you say you missed God? He says, no, I just joined the rest of you. He said, the Lord told me to preach on faith, and I'm going to preach on faith. Open your Bibles to Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24.
Hallelujah.
He said there was a guy there, a businessman, a smart businessman. He said, this man ain't no stupid. He's intelligent because he's running a company that does work all over the United States. He came up to him after that, and he said, I've been here, and I look at my Bible. He said, look, I wrote down every time you preached on this particular church. You preach on this thing 10 times. I finally got it today.
Amen.
In other words, if you're not walking in the fullness of it, you need to keep hearing it.
Come on.
People say, oh, I've heard that before. Don't you ever say, I've heard that before. Because there's many things I've heard from the Word of God over and over and over. And finally, one day, something pops out of there that I never saw before.
Come on.
I'm like, my goodness, where was that the whole time? John 14:12 was in the Bible before I was born. It was in there before my grandparents were born. It was in there before, right after John wrote it and penned it by the Holy Ghost back in the first century. It was already there. But Jesus said, if you believe on me, the works I do, you're doing greater works. Jesus himself, he's the one that told us that if we would believe on him, these miracles, signs, and wonders he'd been doing, we'd do. And greater works than this have been good to be with my Father. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that what you see in the body of Christ? Not really. It doesn't change the fact that's what Jesus said. Obviously, somehow, he said something we're not walking in. That we're in error. If he said that we would do what he did in greater works, that's not only just direction for us. He's given us life and light to walk in his kingdom. This kingdom that Jesus said, remember in Luke 11, where the man had a demon spirit and he couldn't talk. And Jesus cast the devil out of him and the man began to speak. And everybody in that crowd was marveled at it. And some people said, man, this is awesome. Some people said, yeah, he's just casting out the devils by the devil. Then other people said, well, he needs to give us a sign to prove who he is. I mean, I don't know what else you need. One miracle would be all I need to see. Right? But those people said, no, you're just casting out the devils by the devils. And Jesus said, no, that doesn't make any sense. If I cast out the devils by the devil, I'm fighting against the devil because obviously sickness comes from the devil or demonic oppression comes from the devil. And if Jesus was not doing the will of the Father, he's working against the Father. And if he's working the will of the Father, he's delivering people. The will of God is for people to be delivered, set free, healed, and blessed. That's the will of God for us.
Amen.
He wants to bless us.
Yes.
Jesus went about enforcing it. He said, if I cast out the devils by the devils, I'd be working against it. And there'd be a divided house and it wouldn't stand. He says, nah. If I cast out the devil out of this man, understand this. The kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus said that when I cast a devil out of this man and a miracle took place, the man began to speak, the kingdom realm of God has just visited you.
Amen.
And you reject it. Now we are in the kingdom realm of God if we're believers, right?
Amen.
I like to think everybody in here is a believer. In other words, they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and they believe in their heart God raised him from the dead. If you're not, you ought to be. If you're not, you're rejecting the kingdom that contains everything you're really looking for, and you're looking for in a kingdom where it's never going to come.
Wow.
In other words, you're walking in the darkness and you don't even know it. Before we heard the truth of the Word of God, I was walking in darkness. In fact, Ephesians 2 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, God raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. And that's why we rejoice with him. That's why we praise him with all of our hearts. Because he brought us freedom. The thief, the devil, lack, shortages, hurt, pains, sickness, disease, oppression, depression, addictions. They're from the devil. They're not from God. And I'll just give you a hint. God doesn't need to take the devil's tools and teach you something with it. He teaches us by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You'll go through some problems and you can turn to God because there's no other place to go for deliverance. But don't think God did that to bring you there. You know how he tried to get you to come to him? Back to this. He's in his word. In fact, when you ask him to heal you, he's not going to send doctors, lawyers, amateurs, whatever. He's going to send his word. In fact, he's already given it to us. Everything you need to live in victory in life is contained in his word.
Amen.
What you do with it has everything to do with what victory you walk in. And just because God promises something to you doesn't mean you're going to get it. I know you want scripture for that. 12 spies went in to look at the land that God gave the children of Israel.
Come on.
It did everything. And it had everything, and it was everything God says it was. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. That tells me, if it's a land that flows with milk and honey is probably okay to eat. Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Probably not homogenized milk, but whole milk, like God created it. I'll give you a short little story. There's a lot of people that are lactose intolerant because we're drinking milk that's adulterated from what God made. When you homogenize milk, you break the fat globules down to something smaller and they then start digesting in your stomach instead of your intestines, where you're naturally supposed to digest milk, not your stomach. But a land that flows with milk and honey would not be homogenized. It'd be good milk. And it'd be natural honey. Amen. I do care about what we put in our mouth. I think about it all the time. But it was a land that flowed with milk and honey, and there was 12 spies. They went to look at the land, but there was also something that was in the land that God didn't even talk about. There were giants in the land. Do you know when there's a giant in the land, it doesn't bother God? Do you know that when there's problems out there, it doesn't bother him, except that he's watching to see if it tries to mess with you? I think sometimes for the longest time, people have erroneously changed the conversation that God had with Satan about Job. Satan showed up at God's throne, and God said, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been walking to and fro among the earth, seeking who I may devour." This is what Peter said. And God looked at him and said, "You looking at Job?" He didn't go, "Hey, why don't you go beat up on Job?" You think God, wouldn't even be in your heart, much less in God's heart, right? "Are you looking at Job?" He said, "Yeah, but I can't get near him. Because you got a hedge around him. I can't get close to him. But if you'll tear his hedge down." Let me ask you a question. If God put a hedge around you, he ain't going to tear it down because he put it there, right? Why would he put a hedge around you then take it apart? He can put a hedge around, but he could walk away because you just get rejected him. And when he walks away, your protection is gone because he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he can say to the Lord, "He's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my God, in him I trust." But if you walk away from that place, you're walking out. You're like walking out from cover into a war zone where they're firing missiles and bullets, and you're going to get hit. Stay under the secret place of God. He said, "Yeah, I'd like to get him, but I can't get close to him." But if you, Satan, talking to God, if you'll tear his heads down and let me get to him, I'll bust him in the face and he'll blame you. That's exactly what people do. They get out from the protection of God. The devil hits them. And they blame God for it. "Oh God, why'd you let me go through this?" You let yourself go through it.
Come on.
You probably need to quit blaming God for your mistakes.
Come on.
Go to him, confess him. He'll cleanse him and he'll fix you and build you up. But you got to know what he said.
Amen.
You got to know what he's promised you. Just because he promised you doesn't mean it's going to fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You're going to have to get in there. All the promises of God, Romans 4:16, all the promises of God are the outcome of faith and depend entirely on faith. In other words, If you don't walk in faith, don't expect to receive the promise of God. Well, that doesn't seem fair that I have to use faith. Well, he gave you faith to get your promises answered with. It's not your faith. It's the faith of God. When Jesus talked to the disciples about the fig tree they cursed, they said, Peter said, look at that tree yesterday. You spoke that. You cursed that tree yesterday. Now, Jesus, it's dead. What is up with that? And Jesus goes, have the faith of God. He didn't say, wouldn't you like the faith of God? Would you one day like to meet, maybe perhaps to offer you the faith of God? No. He says, have the faith of God. Let me tell you from God himself, have the faith of God. That scripture is written in there for you and me, as well as it was for Peter and the disciples that day when they asked him. Those words that were written, not only to the New Testament church, but even to the Old Testament, the Old Testament group. Those are our words, through Christ. Amen. Every promise that God gave Abraham belongs to you and me.
Amen.
Through Jesus. Christ has, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because it was written, it was said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
That's easy for me to say. Galatians 3:13 was not written at that point in time. It was not a new idea. It was an old promise that God gave Abraham back in the days we called him Abraham. He said, Abraham, get out of this country to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, a great tribe, a great family. The first thing you promised him was posterity.
Amen.
You're going to have a family.
Amen.
He's like, I'm 75, she's 65. We've been married all this time. But I'm going to make you a great nation, and I will bless those that bless you, Abraham, and I'll curse those that curse you. And through you and through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. God needed one man to believe him. If he did what he did through one man who believed him, what can he do through a body of believers that believed him? Greater works than these. Praise God. I need to make a note of that somewhere, and that was good. Abraham believed God, and God counted that to him for righteousness, Romans 4 says. But that wasn't written for his sake alone. That was written for our sakes too. Righteousness, right standing with God, is granted to us, you and me also, who believe in, trust in, hereto, and rely on God, rely on Jesus.
Amen.
Who God raised from the dead to secure our justification, making our account balance, absolving us from all guilt before God. Before we were even born, he forgave us.
Amen.
Before you cast your first sin, Jesus' blood had already covered it.
Amen.
It don't mean you can keep practicing it because I know Jesus is going to clean it up. No, not at all. Because we understand what we did, we run to him and say, I surrender to you and your kingdom, Jesus.
Amen.
Your blood has done such a magnificent work. You've made me whole. You've cleansed me from all unrighteousness. We not only have the righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Can you understand what the righteousness of God is?
Wow.
It ain't like he's going to take you and just clean you up and then put you in front of God. No, he's giving you the same righteousness he's given to himself.
Wow.
I don't think we can fully understand that. If we did, we'd hit our face on the ground and say, God, thank you. What he's done for us. Not to mention, he's blessed us and healed us and delivered us and prospered us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Some of you are still in poverty because you don't believe God wants you to be out of it. My granddaddy did the same thing. He was a Pentecostal holiness preacher. And he believed, like the congregation did, Lord, you just keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. Because they were poor, poor, poor. And there wasn't Social Security back then. He was born in 1889. And when he started having kids, it was early. And he got healed right before Azusa Street started, probably around 1905, down in eastern North Carolina near Bear Creek, where he came from. But he was poor. And all my daddy's brothers and sisters believe it. If you serve God, you're going to be poor. Ask Solomon if that's true. Ask David if that's true. Ask Abraham if that's true. All I know is when Abram left his family, he took his wife and Lot went. He didn't do anything. God said, just you and your wife, you go. He took some people with him. But it didn't look like he was carrying a bunch of stuff with him. But when he left Egypt and is going to this land, it says he was extremely rich. Woo! Extremely rich in silver, cattle, and gold.
Wow. Wow.
You believe in that prosperity message, Brother Noble? Well, if you're thinking that God wants you to just use him as a slot machine, no. But you can't go far in this book until you start reading what God wants us to be blessed.
Amen.
Do you want your kids to be blessed, or do you want them to squalor in poverty and barely get by? No, you want them to be blessed. And if we're evil, know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to them? And ask how much more would he give us? And Romans 8, if he didn't spare his only son but gave him his son, why would he not freely give us all things?
Wow.
You know what our problem is? Our God's too small. And our problem is bigger than him. That's the problem. Because we look at, the 12 spies went in to look at the land. They all saw the land that flowed with milk and honey. They had one cluster of grapes that was so big they had to carry it between a pole on two men's shoulders.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. They came back. Yep. It flows with milk and honey. Man, that's a bountiful land. Everything that God said about it is there. But there's something I didn't hear before. There's giants in the land. There's great walled cities in the land. There's a problem. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight. We look like, then they saw themselves as grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers in our own sight. We can't take the land. And they came back and told the people got upset. Caleb and Joshua had to quiet the people. Says, no, don't listen to that. That's true. That land flows with milk. And there are giants in the land. But because God said, I inserted that, we're well able to take the land. Why?
Amen.
Because God is with us.
Hallelujah.
If God's with you, you ain't got no problems.
Come on.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me.
Amen.
Because he's with me.
Amen.
I think, as I try to summarize this thing, I believe the body of Christ needs to be doing what Jesus did. But we try to do it ourselves without being in his presence. The most important thing for Jesus was to be in the presence of his Father, because you know they had been face to face forever in the past.
Wow. Wow.
In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Not one thing was made without him that was made.
Amen.
In the beginning, before his face, was God's living expression eternally.
Wow.
God and his Word, Jesus, were face to face forever in the past. Just as much as forever goes forward, you can't find the beginning of time when God and his Word were not face to face.
Wow.
I can't fully understand that, but I fully believe it.
Amen.
That he's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't fully understand all that, but I believe it. I know his Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As many as received him, the Word of God that became flesh, he gave them the power to become who they truly are, already the sons and daughters of God.
Wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus.
And my goodness, if you need healing, you need deliverance, you need prosperity, if you need these things, it's easy to overstep him to go get his benefits and leave the biggest benefit, the biggest prize of all is that the wonderful opportunity we have to let God live in us and us live in him.
Amen.
That everywhere we go, everything we do, he's right there with us.
Hallelujah.
When we come together and worship, we're worshiping him that lives in us, that was with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Why would you ever think he would leave you alone and not meet your every need? But the fact that we fail to believe him keeps him from giving to us, because we have to accept it by faith.
Amen.
And faith is believing and acting on the Word of God.
Yes.
James says, you tell me you're walking in faith, I don't see nothing, you must not be walking in faith. In other words, if you're walking with God and you're you operate in faith, I'm going to see some of your works. Not that I do these works to be paid in these good things God does, but I do these things for him because I love him. Because that's the way the kingdom operates. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. You don't keep his commands so he'll love you. You don't keep his commands so you can love him. He loves you before you ever accepted him, before you ever knew him. In fact, Ephesians says, even before he laid the foundations of the universe, before he made the first cast on creating this whole thing that we see, he already saw us wrapped into Christ. And he sees us as innocent with unstained hearts, unstained passions. Even when we were dead in the trespasses and sin, he raised us up again, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. When you come home, it's not when he's had you there. That's when you followed in there. You need to be born again because you can't enter into this. He told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, don't you understand what it means to be born again? Yeah, how's a man? He's going to go back in his mom's womb the second time? Jesus said, Nicodemus, aren't you a spiritual leader? Wouldn't you know more than what you just said? Don't you know that if you want to see this kingdom, you must be born again?
Wow. Wow.
And Peter said, Lord, you ain't washing my feet. You ain't washing none of me. You're my Lord. And Jesus said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you won't live in life union with me. What does that mean? Wash his feet. It's an outward sign of what he's talking about. God served us to save us.
Oh, hallelujah.
He came down this earth and served us.
Amen.
He also corrected our theology. This is what you think God is. That ain't it at all. This is God. If I heal on the Sabbath day, that's God. In fact, if I can't do anything of myself, in fact, if there's anything I'm doing, it's God, because I ain't got no plans for myself. If I went out to play pickleball, maybe you think that's it, but I'm not doing it. I'm only doing what God asked me to do.
Amen.
He did eat. He did drink. He sat down with people. He fellowshiped. He walked. He traveled. But everywhere he went, God was with him. And whenever God told him something, he did it. And whenever he did what God told him to do, he knew. He knew that God was going to do what he said.
Amen.
Just like Abraham, who said God, he believed God's promise and expected God to fulfill it.
Amen.
The problem is we don't expect God to do it. We sure wish he would, but we don't expect him to.
Come on.
Because faith is a substance of expectation. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, faith is a substance of things that hope. Now, that word hope doesn't mean wishful thinking. Like, is it going to warm up today, Brother Noble? I sure hope so. I can go look at the forecast. I can pretty much tell you what it's going to do. Pretty much. But I can't trust the weather like I can trust God. But when he said, faith is a summons of things hope for, that word hope means an internal, intense expectation of good. Hope is a joyful, intense expectation of good.
Amen.
If I operate in faith, it's because, and what does it work with? Wishful thinking? Lord, I wish you'd do this for me. No, that doesn't operate. Faith operates with intense, joyful expectation of good. That which Jesus manifested, Jesus said, I went by and I spoke to that fig tree and it died. And you ask me why? I said, have the faith of God.
Amen.
For whosoever shall say, this is not the charismatics making this up. This ain't name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, confess it and possess it. Even though we do. It's not some new word of faith gimmick. It is the words of Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Don't cheapen it or you won't walk in it.
Come on.
Whosoever shall say to this problem, this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. He's telling that you and I, as believers, we can tell inanimate objects, troubles, problems, to move and be cast into the sea. We don't doubt in our hearts, but we believe that what we say would come to pass. He said we would have what we say.
Amen.
Not maybe, not sometimes. We would have. You shall have what you say. When Jamie comes up here and he's talking about these confessions, he's telling you how this operates. And we think of it as some religious talk. No, this is the truth. This is an eternal truth. If you believe something in your heart, you're now like a loaded gun.
Come on.
And your mouth is a trigger to bring that bullet out of that gun, take and hit the target it's going to. It has to be in your heart. I can take a gun all day that's not loaded and just shoot. It won't do nothing to click, 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 click. And most of us going around being faith people just running around, click, click, click. We speaking it, but we don't have it in our heart. Well, I've heard that Mark 11, 23, 20. Well, you ain't operating in it. You need something in there you ain't got.
Come on.
You probably need to keep digging into it until you get it. Because we're commanded. It's not a suggestion. We're commanded four times that the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And how do you do that? Because there's a God that you can trust who wants to live on the inside. He lives in the inside of you by faith.
Amen.
Without faith, you can't even get saved. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you won't receive the promises of God. And we're called to live a life of faith. If you don't walk with faith, you're not even living the life He's called you to walk.
Wow.
Plus the biggest one, like I said a second ago, it's without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
And when Jesus was baptized and it came up, God goes, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." What does that mean? Jesus walked by faith. How did faith come? The same way it came to him comes to you and me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by what you heard. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
Oh, I've heard that. Okay. Are you walking in it? No. Then we need to dig it.
Come on.
I read this before, is in this introduction. Jesus said, "In the time's coming when you all will be scattered and each one of you will go your own way, leaving me alone." He goes, "Yet I'm never alone."
Wow.
Jesus said, "I'm never alone." Now, I do believe that when he went into the bowels of this earth, God turned his back on him. For your sake and my sake.
Wow.
But received him back. Do you know that when he was in that place, I'm not sure exactly what he went through, but whatever he went through was not good. But whatever, while he was there, guess what he was doing? Believing God.
Wow.
It's easy for us to stand before a problem comes, say, "Yeah, I'm going to believe God and get through all this stuff." When the problem comes, that's when the rubber meets the road.
Amen.
Jesus told him, "Don't worry, we're going into Jerusalem. And they're going to kill me." People say, "Well, you can't be killed. You're the Messiah. You're the Messiah supposed to always live with us." Yeah. He does. But he still went. The devil didn't know this was going on. Therefore, he didn't try to stop it. In fact, he was trying to kill him. And he says, Jesus said, a grain of wheat is only going to be a single grain of wheat. Unless it goes into the ground and dies. But when it goes in the ground and dies, it produces hundreds of them. It makes more sense when Jesus says, "The works I do, you'll do greater, because I'm going to be buried in this earth. But God's going to get a harvest from that seed going into the ground."
Hallelujah.
He's the first, Hebrews calls him the firstborn among many brothers and sisters.
Amen.
The devil, if he can't stop us from getting born again, he's going to try to stop us to not walk in his power and to live with his power flowing through us.
Come on.
The problem we also have is that we begin to think it's about us. It ain't a bit about us. It's not having nothing to do with us except us being a yielded vessel. Not unlike Jesus, who says, "I can do nothing of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, He does the works."
Amen.
Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, is probably what the translator of the Passion, Brian Simmons, said. It's like the constitution for the body of Christ. This is how we operate. This is how we live. This is how we model the body of Christ on the earth. We are his church on the earth, which is the word, Greek word, ecclesia, ekklesia, which was used in the time it was written as the legislative governing body of a government. God's legislative body on the earth is the church. Not the president, not the vice president, not the House of Representatives, not the Senate, not the Supreme Court, not the state and local governments. None of them. They are, yes, but that's not God's governing body on the earth. The body of Christ is God's governing power on the earth.
Hallelujah.
And if you understand that, then you quit looking at things for yourself and you look at things for the better good of his kingdom and expanding his kingdom by going up and raising disciples of men, but teaching them who they are in Christ. We're not ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about my talents or anything he's done for me. It's all about him living and flowing through us. And most Christians can't stomach that thought. Oh, you're getting out of board. And you're getting out of line. They did the same thing to Jesus. Who do you think you are coming around here saying what you say? I only say what I hear my father say. I only do what I see my father do. I go where my father tells me to go. The father that lives in me, he's the one that speaks through me. Don't you believe God's living? He's talking to his leaders. He's talking to the leaders of his body. The original 12. He's there with him. There's probably more in that room. He said, don't you believe the Father's living in me and that I'm living in the Father? He's telling them, guys, what you've manifested for the last 3.5 years is God living in and through me, doing things I can't do.
Wow.
And teaching as a perfect expression of who God is. Jesus is perfect theology. You want to know what God's like? Really? Study Jesus.
Amen.
He is God in the flesh.
Yes.
He came to the world that he created, and the world didn't even recognize him. So what did he do? He went about teaching them so they could recognize who God is. You know why people reject God? Because they don't know who he is. They think this being a Christian is old-fashioned. Do you know what? God is never out of fashion. God is never out of date. He's never late. He sets all trends, all this stuff that we're amazed with in this world. It's all rubbish. But him, he's the hippest cat in town, and he's the Ancient of Days. He's been here forever, and you're talking about old. He's older than dirt, and he knows all things, and he's the coolest cat in the universe.
Amen. Amen.
And he ain't dumb. He ain't old-fashioned. He is righteous, and he is good, and he is love. And he wants to bless humanity, and he's tired and sick and tired of the devil. He's not sick or tired. He's done with the devil kicking the church.
Come on.
The time coming, he said, that's it. That's it. Because the world's just getting darker and darker, and the church running around trying to make everybody act like them. No. All we got to do is just tell them what the truth is. And they have a legal right to reject God if they want to. They don't have a moral right, but they do have a legal right. All we can do is tell them the truth. If they reject it, go someplace else.
Come on.
My goodness. How much time you got? Hallelujah. Colossians 1:26. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been kept concealed from the world for generations. It was God's plan all along. God had this plan before he ever put the universe, before he spoke light be, which I think was the beginning of the creation. At least that looks like what it says in Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He said, light in me be. What God spoke was something he already saw in his heart. And he used his words, the faith of God, to say something that was in his heart that he believed. And he said, as soon as I say this, it's coming to pass. Light be. And it was. Wow. He operates. It is the faith of God. That's how he. And it said through all of Genesis 1. And he sat down and looked at everything he had made. Everything he made, he said. He spoke it into existence. Do you understand? That's how the kingdom of God operates. By the spoken word. In fact, Hebrews says he created us human beings as speaking spirits.
Wow. Wow.
They said they broke all matter down to electrons, protons, and neutrons. And if we can figure out what they're made out of, we know what the whole universe is made of. And they did. They kept crushing them. They said they were made out of something called quarks. You know what they are? Sound waves.
Wow.
Everything you ever spoken is recorded somewhere because it sent vibrations out there. And even across a rock, it can be recorded there. There's a lot of stuff on top of it. But you layer it out, you can probably see it, that everything you said is recorded. God gives you the right to erase what you said. Father, forgive me for all the things I've ever said out of line. And he wipes them as far as the east is from the west. He removes our transgressions from us.
Thank you, Lord.
But before they found out about it, it was a mystery. A mystery that God knew before he ever began the universe.
Amen.
A secret that's been kept concealed from the world for generations, but now is being unveiled, revealed, and unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with all the expectation of glory. Living within you is the Christ.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Flooding you with expectations of God's glory. Living within you is the Christ. Christ in you, the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is not this. Hallelujah, glory to God. The glory of God is when God comes and you can't stand it because of his glory and his riches and his goodness and his mercy. And it rushes across the face of people and radically transforms anything that the enemy's done to them and sets you free.
Amen.
He wants you to be free. And you're not free to do what you want. You're free to do what he asks you to do. Well, this is not a free nation where you can do anything because you're not supposed to shoot people, kill them. Well, I'm not free to kill. No, you're not. There are laws. And we are free to serve him.
Amen.
The freedom for this nation was freedom to worship God as he wants us to.
Amen.
Not the way someone tells us to do it. In fact, the government wasn't supposed to be involved in the church. It wasn't the other way around.
Come on.
Hoodwinks get you in trouble. You know that? Jesus says, from now on, you've known me and you've seen the Father. Philip said, Lord, just show us the Father. That's all we ask. How long have I been with you, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Because he was not in the way of God being manifested visibly for humanity to see.
Amen.
And they came to the religious leaders, came to him one time and says, ah, you just... You say these things on your own. He says, nah. Doesn't your scripture say, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you two. One, me speaking it. That's one witness. Two, God manifesting miraculously in healing power in front of your eyes. There's two witnesses. That's all you need. You're not even going to believe the own words you profess. It's not me. I can do nothing of myself. But I'm not by myself.
Hey, come on.
And he invites you. He goes, come in here and live in this kingdom like I lived. If the works I do, you'll do. And greater works because I go to be my Father. Let me back up. Lord, just Philip said, he said, from now on you've known the Father and you've seen the Father. Philip said, Lord, just show us a Father. We'll be satisfied. In other words, he ain't satisfied yet. I'm like, Philip. This is Jimmy speaking to Philip, if I could. Philip, you've been with him 3.5 years. What do you mean, show you the Father? If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. But they still didn't get it. Philip, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was so yielded to the Father, all you could see was God on him. Jesus was so yielded to the Father that whatever you saw was a manifested will of God because whatever God told him to say, he said. Whatever God told him to do, he did. Wherever God told him to go, he went.
Amen.
Whatever God did, Jesus saw it and relayed it. So in other words, he was the perfect theology. He was perfect expression of God. Hebrews calls him the outraying radiance of the vine, the very image of God's nature. In the past, he spoke to us in the prophets and the law, and then our forefathers. But in the last days, he's spoken to us in the person of a son, who is the express image, the outraying radiance. He is a perfect image of God.
Hallelujah.
If you study Jesus, you study God. And I'll tell you this. If what you think God's like, you can't find it in the person of Jesus through the four gospels and then the way he manifested through the New Testament, change the way you think you know about God.
Come on.
Jesus is a perfect image of God.
Amen.
And he wants you to do the same thing. Represent him on this earth just like Jesus did.
Hallelujah.
He's not asking you to build the Jim Noble ministry, the this, that, and you, that. What? Yield to the Father. Jesus said, didn't I tell you if you believe, you'd see the glory of God? I want to see the glory of God. Believe. You're not waiting on God.
Come on.
People say, I'm waiting on him. He puts me in the waiting room. You can show me one scripture back that up, I may accept it. Because even if there was one, there's another one that would trump it. If you can believe, all things are possible. If I can believe it's instantaneously, that means it's possible. Yeah, but I thought you had to be in the waiting room. You need to wait on the Lord. Not like sit and wait on him like, I wish God's going to show up one day. No, it means wait, like lie in wait, like go in, like you're going to get an ambush and wait to look for God.
Come on.
He said if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. You know what? You want the presence of God to fall on you? Press in. Yeah, I've done that, Brother Noble, but I didn't yet. Keep pressing. You're not. He said if you call upon him, if you call upon him, he will answer you and he'll show you great things and mighty things, God bless you, that you don't know.
Wow, thank you, Lord.
And he said this. Paul's praying by the unction of the Holy Spirit for the church, the body of Christ, you and me.
Amen.
When the New Testament talks about the church, it's talking about us.
Amen.
Not this one church, but this one body of believers in this gathering, in this church building. When he talks about his body, it's for those who believe him. If you're not born again, you're outside of this covenant.
Right.
I'd say it would be in your best interest to come in.
Yes.
I know you know everything, but bless God, if you would just trust God, the things you've been looking for, and if you find them on your own, it's not going to be worth nothing.
Come on.
How it's like. You got something you just thought was the best thing in the world. 6 months later, you're throwing it around like it ain't nothing. That thing you just had to have. That's the most pitiful substitution for looking for him. Because what you're looking for is who he is.
Wow. Wow.
And nothing else will satisfy. Not a thing will satisfy. Don't you believe I'm in him and he's in me?
Yes.
The words I speak unto you, Philip, they're not me, but the Father that dwells in me. He's the one that lives in me and does his miracles, signs, and wonders through me. Don't you believe I'm in him or he's in me? If you don't believe me for what I say, you at least ought to believe me because of miracles, signs, and wonders that you see. We should, as a body of Christ, manifest those same signs and wonders that he did so that if they don't believe our words, they at least ought to believe, like Nicodemus did. Jesus, there's something about you. I can't put my finger on, but I know one thing. You must be with God.
Amen.
Because you can't do what you're doing without God.
Come on.
Don't you think it would be for the benefit of the lost world for us to manifest God's presence and his glory in the midst of a lost and dark, dying world?
Yes.
To be the church? To be the body of Christ on this earth?
Amen.
Yeah, but that's not how I was raised, Brother Noble. We'll throw that mess away. Go to the Word of God and see what he tells you to do. When he's speaking to the church in Ephesians 1, he prays, I pray by the Holy Ghost for the church, the body of Christ, you and me, that God would give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened so we would know what is the expectation of the glory of God in the calling that he has in your life and my life.
Wow, wow.
And what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? You and me, the saints, the set apart ones. When we first went to St. Peter's, Bishop would say, all right, saints. I'm like, saints? Is there some saints in here? He kept saying it. I said, who's he talking to? He's talking to you.
Hallelujah.
If you're sanctified, separated unto God, you are the saints.
Hallelujah.
When we sing that song, when the saints go marching in, now I'm not just certain. When he's talking about all of us. When we go marching in. When the saints go marching in, that's us.
Oh, Lord, I
want to
be in that number.
All right. All right.
That you would know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. And what is, listen to this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power in us and for us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That the same power that God used when he raised Christ from the dead dwells in you by faith.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
It's in the power of God. It's in the power of God. You've already got it.
Wow.
It's in you by faith. Obviously, you don't operate in it because you don't believe it.
Wow.
But it's true. When you get born again, God comes and lives in you. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's when God comes upon you to move through you, just like he did in Jesus' life. When Jesus got filled with the Holy Ghost, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. People are held in captivity, in bondage. I'll read this last thing to you if I brought it. I think I brought it. Oh, yeah. This is what God declared to those ruling principalities and powers. And he's chiding them for not taking care of the weak and the overlooked and ignored. He says, defend the defenseless, the fatherless, the forgotten, the disenfranchised, and the destitute. Your duty is to deliver the poor and the powerless. Liberate them from the grasp of the wicked one.
Wow.
But you continue in your own darkness and ignorance while the foundations of society of this are shaken to the core.
Wow.
What's the duty of the body of Christ? What's our calling? To go make disciples? Take care of the widows, orphans, and the poor. Paul was in the book of Galatians. He finally came to, it may be like 8 or 10 years before he ever met the disciples. He got knocked off by the power of God, was blind. When he finally was revived, God called him out of the wilderness, and Jesus himself ministered to him for like 3 years. My time may be off, but he went and ministered to Jesus. Jesus ministered to him, and he came back to Damascus and stayed there for a while. Finally, he went back to Jerusalem, and I think it's like 10 years later, and met the disciples. He had revelations from Jesus they did not have yet.
Wow.
And he revealed things, and then they said, yeah, because he wrote. You know, the body of Christ started off just like we did. We didn't really know much when we started. But as we become disciples of him, we find out what he wants us to do, and then we trust him, and we go do it. They said, Paul, you got revelations we didn't have, but we welcome you into our body. Now you go, do one. There's one thing we ask. Take care of the poor. And Paul's like, oh, that's one thing I've already determined. That you ain't got to worry about that.
Woo.
The body of Christ, take care of the poor.
Amen.
And deliver them from poverty.
Wow. Wow.
Don't just go here. If I had all the money in the world, I'd give it to you to get you out of poverty. But that ain't going to get you out. God's what gets you out. When you learn to trust God for everything, he makes you free.
Yes.
I'm just the messenger. But if it takes me going out asking people, give me money to make some food so I can get you to come to hear this thing, and you get it, it's worth everything I've ever begged anybody to give me money wise to feed, because that's the attraction. I like to fish. There ain't nothing on the end of my line except a hook. I ain't catching nothing. I got to put something on it. And whatever it takes to get you to come in here. And if you come in here and beat the system for 5 years, I could care less if one day, just maybe one day, the truth of the Word of God comes to you and you realize, I am not poor. I'm not destined to be poor. I was destined to be a child of God. And I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, all things, both in heaven and earth, have been given to me. If he's your brother and your heirs with him, how in the world can you be poor? Don't you believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? I'm sorry, I'm a little over today. But this is good stuff. The words I speak in you are not my own. They come from the Father who lives in me, who does his miracles, signs, and wonders through me. Don't you believe I'm in him and he's in me? If you don't believe me for what I say, guys, at least believe me for the miracles you see me do. And I'll tell you this timeless truth. If you believe on me, then these works that I've been doing with the Father living in me, you'll do. And greater works than these you can do because I'm going to be my Father. Jesus, you can't do the works without God. Yep, just hang on. I'm getting ready to tell you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. Let me back up. He that believes on me, the works I do, he will do greater works than these you do because I'm going to be my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. This is Jesus. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And here's the answer. I'm going to pray, and the Father's going to give you the Holy Spirit to abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world will not receive because they can't see him or know him. But you don't have to do that. You know him because he's been with you, but he shall be, not yet, but shall be in you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You know what he's saying? I can't do what I do without God being in me, but I'm going to ask God, and he's going to let you walk in that too. And on the day of Pentecost, it came.
Wow.
Peter comes out, man, these people aren't drunk like you think. They're just filled with the Holy Ghost. They're just filled with God's Holy Spirit. This is that the prophet Joel spoke about in the last days, the second covenant. I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy.
Hallelujah.
Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions.
Amen.
I'm sort of in the middle. Hallelujah. This is what God said. I'm going to live in them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, and I will write my words in their heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Why would you not want that? Why would you not want God to just live in you and say, I give all this world away to have you living in me, God?
Woo.
Smith Wigglesworth said, and he was anointed mightily of God because, you know why? Because he believed this. And God moved through him, miracle signs and wonders like you've never seen. He raised so many people from the dead. Heidi Baker's doing the same thing in Mozambique because she believed God.
Amen.
God told her in a meeting, you're going to be anointed to open the eyes of the blind. See Randy Clark, what happened up in Canada. She went back to Mozambique, started laying hands on the blind. Nothing. Kept laying hands, nothing. 3 months, nothing. 6 months, nothing. Kept laying hands on the blind. God said it. 9 months, nothing happened. About 12 months, all of a sudden, the eyes started opening. And then, pew, 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 opening. And they've raised, I don't know how many people from the dead.
Wow.
It's in the thousands. Just like Jesus said we would.
Hallelujah.
We'll, if we believe, we'll see.
Amen.
The glory
Amen.
Of God.
All right.
We're going to see it in this house.
Hallelujah.
You know why? Because it ain't us, it's him.
Amen.
And if we do what he said,
Hallelujah.
And we believe him,
yes.
If we don't do what he said, the devil has a free right to keep stuff on us and we never get around it.
Because
Jesus said, come on, guys, we're going. Satan's coming to get me, but he can't take me. He ain't got nothing on me.
Wow.
And guess what? You follow God, the devil ain't got nothing on you.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right.
Good news. Good news.
I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hallelujah. So we're going to do that before we go. I'm going to do something first. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you want to walk with God like Jesus described to us, this is your day.
Amen.
Because we're going to pray for salvation, then we're going to say, God, come live in me. And he's going to live in you, whether you feel it or not. But if you don't believe it, you'll just keep him stifled in there. Jesus is held prisoner in the hearts of believers all over this country.
Wow.
He can't move through them because they don't believe. They don't open the door of belief for him to move through them because it ain't about us. It's about him.
Amen.
And we are his body on the earth and the presence of him that we are his body on earth and the presence of him that flows through us, changing the world around us.
Amen.
When we go into neighborhoods, adopt a block, we're just releasing God wherever we go if we're walking by faith. We're going to lead you in a prayer. Believers, I want you to say it out loud. If you're not born again or you've walked away from God, today's a day to come back.
Amen.
And it may be for you here or someone online, but listen to me. Today is your day. Repeat this after me. Now, I'm going to say it too. I'm born again, but I'm so glad to confess every day, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I believe God raised you from the dead. I tell him every day, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're the Father and God of my Lord Jesus Christ, and you're my Father, and you're my God, and I love you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's how my brain lives. I say it every day. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. You dwell in my heart by faith, and I'm rooted and grounded in love. Holy Spirit, you live in me in presence and in power.
Hallelujah.
Why do I say that? Because I believe it.
Amen.
Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Now, you can do better than that. Let the devil hear you if he's even down the street. Heavenly Father,
today
I confess Jesus is Lord of my life.
Jesus, I surrender.
I believe God raised you from the dead.
And according to your word,
and my profession of faith,
I'm now saved.
I give you my life.
Tell me what to do.
You also said that if I ask you, Father,
you
would give me your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask in faith.
I
declare in faith. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I receive your Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get alone sometime. Figure out what you just prayed. And that you believe you received it when you prayed, man, you're going to tear the devil's little tournament up. Amen? He told us, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teach them to follow every command I've ever given you. One of the commands he gave them was to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. Before we go, we're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers.
Amen.
First, by cancer. If you have cancer in your body, or you have someone in your family or somebody you know has cancer, I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to curse the cancer in their body, and it's going to die. If you have cancer, somebody in your family or somebody you know has cancer, and then any of a sickness, any of a disease you want to be prayed for, stand up as well. We're going to do cancer first and then anything else. If you want a physical change in your body, you're going to be healed by the power of God. Today is your day.
Amen.
Today is your day.
Today is the day.
Amen.
Woo!
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what Jesus said to do. Oops. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through Peter, said, be well balanced and always alert because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly, not stopping, like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he acts like one, seeking and looking for his prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist him with his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. That's what we're going to do. We're going to resist the devil with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles you endure, that you endure. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as ambassadors for his kingdom, we curse cancer in the physical bodies of the people's name that we call out right now. Call their name out. James, Mary, Wesley, Jill, Elaine, Terry, Anita, Jill, Marty, Taylor, Allie, Karen, hard, hard time reading my own typing. Adora, RM, Betsy, Miss Davis, Nina, Susan, Gina, Phil, Olivia, Lee, Tony, Marcia, Thomas, Bob. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cancer in these bodies, we're speaking directly to you. We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to die. Cease and desist your maneuvers now in Jesus' name. If for some reason, this is not physiological, but this is demonic. It's either physiological or it's demonic. But if it's demonic, Jesus told us what to do. He said, these signs will follow believers in my name. They'll cast out devils. So you foul, unclean spirits of cancer, we command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose them and let them go. Amen. Now. Woo. Furthermore, if there's any cancer within the sound of my voice, either demonic or physiological, we don't have to know that it's there. We're going to curse every cancer cell within the sound of my voice. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every cancerous cell within the sound of my voice, we command you to die. If you're demonic, loose them, let them go. And any other sickness, any disease, any abnormality, any brain issue damage, any kind of liver issue, sugar issues, kidney issues, bladder issues, blood issues, heart issues, brain cells, communication, metal in the body, any kind of oppression, depression, any kind of addiction, perversion, anything that seems to have us in its grasp. Jesus said that Satan stands guard over his belongings. Do you know that when people are in poverty and sickness and disease, they're held captive, and they're in some of Satan's belongings. But one stronger than comes along and takes that away and takes the spoils. Jesus says, this kingdom of heaven comes and defeats the kingdom of darkness where Satan has belongings. And he takes back those belongings and they become the spoils of God's kingdom. So I speak the peace of God over you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being, every bone, every muscle be healed, whole, fully restored right now in Jesus' name. I command that every cell of your body perform in the perfection that God created it to function. I forbid any malfunction in your body in Jesus' name. Physiologically, any kind of bondage, anything that's holding you in captivity, any addiction, any perversion, any sexual perversion, any kind of sexual misunderstanding, I speak the peace of God, the truth of God about his life for you and his will for you in Jesus' name and his wholeness from the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet. Freedom in your mind. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and love, and he gave us a sound mind. He also said, the Lord is my shepherd. He restores our soul, which is our mind and our will. I don't care what kind of mental issues you go through. God restores our souls, our minds, our will, and our emotion. And Father, we thank you. We give you praise that you move through us. This is you, that you're the healer. We're not the healer. You're the healer. But you've commanded us to spread your truth and the gospel of your kingdom throughout this world. And we give you all the praise and all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Shout for glory. Hallelujah. God is good. Say this, for the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. I'm going to bless you before you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. In other words, in that position of face to face and give you peace. He wants to be face to face with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you face to face and give you peace. Man, if you're face to face with God, you're in the midst of peace. Amen. All right. Have a blessed Sunday. We love you. God bless you.
Thank you for being here with us on The Voice of Healing. When you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, join us for our 10 a.m. Sunday morning service. Our website, restoringplace.org, has all the details on how to find us. While you're on our site, check out ways you can volunteer at the Dream Center. Need someone to answer questions about us or pray with you 24/7? Call our prayer line at 704-246-4595.